It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Find us on Facebook and online at kellyandsteve.org.
Let's talk to Nancy Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
From Anchors Away.
Let's find out what's going on. Hey, good morning to you. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning. Good morning. I wonder, Kelly, what the difference of a smile and a sneer is. What do you think?
This wasn't exactly a sneer. This was this was almost a Cheshire Cat smile.
Ooh,
like I'm up to something.
Cagey.
I'm up to something.
Like he was just going to blip out of existence. That smile was going to hang in the air for a second, and then I was going to have to watch my back.
Oh, boy. Oh, Kelly. Well, it's great to hear your laughter this morning. I know that this question that you had sent over, I was like, yes, we're going to take this on. I was excited about it because there's so many. It's so descriptive of the world and the challenges that we have. We have a peace when we go outside the door because no matter what happens, whatever comes in our way, we do have the solace of Christ. We have the peace of Christ. We know where we are going, so we fear not. But there's a lot of people who are lost, and they feel that void, the emptiness, and they strive to fill it with everything that they possibly can. And then they find out, oh, that didn't fill me up at all.
Yeah.
What does it take for us to get right with God?
Yeah, and this whole idea of being lost, it describes an emptiness of our souls. And those who are believers know exactly what that's about. Just that sense of aloneness. Now, it's interesting, the Greek word for lost means dead. And meaning a lost person has no hope whatsoever in this life or the future after death. And most lost people would describe their lives as meaningless, empty, and without purpose. Very interesting, sad, dark thoughts of having a soul that is empty. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, and you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, the rest of mankind. You know, that doesn't paint a very pretty picture, does it, of what this world is like. I mean, the sons of disobedience, the prince of power of the air. Definitely we are living in a world of turmoil, of a power struggle between, those who want to worship Christ and those, the spirit of death and deceit and anger. And it is a war going on. And we see it again in Matthew 7, 13, 14. We see this idea of separation. Enter the gate, the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. I think the truth of the matter is, I'd be anxious to know what you both think, but the vast majority of people do not know Christ. This is what this is saying. Mm-hmm. And those sitting in pews hoping that their salvation will come from attending a church service, just sitting in a pew, not making a decision for Christ is clearly not what God wants for us. And getting right with God, that's something that we should strive for, because it's only through Christ that we have any hope. Without Christ, we're all lost.
I think there are so many people that do think that way. I almost feel like, you know, there are Sunday mornings that we need to take a minute in the middle of or after church service, Nancy, and just turn to the person next to us and just ask, you know, have you made that decision? Have you taken that step of faith? are you right with God? I guess, oh my goodness, it scares me for people. This next question.
Just hearing you say that, though, Kelly, that is the thought. And wouldn't that be something if we would do it, you know, start reaching out within our church, mm-hmm. as crazy as that sounds? That's a brilliant idea.
Well, I think we should. We've got to look out for one another. We can't let people just fly under the radar for their own sakes, you know?
Exactly.
I remember when I was first saved, brand new Christian. I mean, brand new, 22 years old. And I was at one of our church elders' homes with our young adults group. And we had this discussion. And I so appreciate this next question because it took me right back to that time. In fact, even sitting here now, I can picture every face in that room and even what the lighting in the room was like. I am there right now in my mind because we were having this discussion over what does it mean that we're all born lost? And it was really an interesting discussion. And I'm putting that question to you also, Nancy, because I think some people think that we're not all born lost. We become lost later, but that's not the case. What does that mean? You say that we're all born lost, and it's true. Explain that.
Yeah, we're born essentially, you know, with a desire to go against God. You know, just like Adam and Eve, the first choice they had, don't eat of the tree of good and evil. What they do, they ate of the tree of good and evil. This inward desire to do our own thing and anything that goes against God's best for our life. And we see this in this world today, the horrible things that are happening. You just gave a report on Israel and Hamas and all this. How could mankind be so evil to one another? And it's because we're born with that nature, and sin has no boundaries, and that's what we're seeing. And without Christ, our destiny is eternal separation from God in a place called hell. And that place is without God. And clearly, fire, brimstone, whatever you want to say, that would describe hell. The good news is, though, that we're created in the image of God. God created us with a desire to know God and have a personal relationship with him. And God, no matter what, he loves humans, no matter what sin they have committed. Because when we trust Christ that he died and rose again for our sins and follow him, obey him, which is what Adam and Eve didn't do, he will free us from the dread of being lost. And that is the picture of the gospel. The dread of being lost, separated from God forever in darkness. That's what being lost is.
Well, Nancy, I know what it was like moving into my relationship with Christ. You know, I kind of have a pretty clear before and after picture. So what is it that actually changes when we do put our hope in Jesus? What is that tipping point, caveat moment in our life there?
Yeah, I think when we put our hope in Christ, the true Jesus, let me say, all religions have a Jesus. Jesus Christ of the scriptures is the Son of God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So that separates Christianity out from all other religions. But when we put our hope in Jesus, his Holy Spirit comes in, and we have God's peace within us to guide us each day, and trusting it with it in Jesus to lead us is the only way to overcome the lies that Satan has imposed on us. You know, the Bible tells us that we're not a mistake. I created you and eons ago in my mind, and you were born at the right time, and you're made in my image, and all of that scripture. So we do matter to God. And we do have a purpose to love God and love others. And we no longer have to live in the shame and the guilt of the past stuff that we did. You know, some people can't forgive themselves, but God is saying, look, I wiped all that away when he died on the cross. living in this world can be terrifying. Let's just be honest. But we know God will never abandon us because we are his children. And his desire is for all human beings to live with peace and joy with Christ in a world that offers no eternal hope. Jesus says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief, which is Satan, comes only to steal and destroy. I have come, says Christ, that they may have life and have it to the full. Scripture is just so amazingly clear if we just pause and read it. Deuteronomy 31, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. That's Deuteronomy. The scriptures are filled with hope for us. Ephesians 2, but God in his mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with him, seated with him in the heavenly place. And so in the coming age, he might show his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This whole idea of being saved by grace, we don't have to earn it. We can't be good enough. And God says, by grace you've been saved. And this is where our faith comes in. Scripture makes it very, very clear. I have chosen to extend grace to you. You are saved. You do not have to work for it, but you do have to believe. And believe means to trust in, to obey, and to love with Christ. Amazing.
Well, Nancy, when it comes to helping people who are lost and who need to get right with God, you've said that, you know, they don't need a religion. They don't need that list of things to do. Where do we begin? Where do we begin to help them?
Yeah, this kind of is what we teach in Anchors Away. I mean, these questions come from the curriculum because we just, where do we begin? And as a non-believer, you can believe anything, but the rightly placed questions as you're trying to work with your non-believing friends, I think we have to learn the truth from the scriptures, number one, before we talk to anybody. You know, become a student of the scriptures to better build the foundations of a Christian faith in you so you can be able to answer questions of people that they have about Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about Jesus, about our purpose, all of these questions. We need to, Christians, to be able to answer the questions that non-believers are wanting to have answers to, but so often we don't give them the answers that are from Scripture. This whole idea, the questions we ask, you know, that I was asking as the non-believer, so where did I come from? And why is there such a mess in the world? And what hope do I have? And what's my purpose? And what happens when I die? We as Christians have got to be able to answer these questions for people that are searching. They want answers. And if we say, I have no clue from where I came or what my purpose is, we aren't going to be much of a help to people who are searching. You know, 1 Peter 3:15, but in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord as holy. Always being prepared to defend anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. And do it with gentleness and respect. This whole idea of setting our attitudes toward those who don't know, you know, golly, let's talk to them with gentleness and respect. And the next idea is our greatest evangelical tool is how we live our life. We need to learn the scriptures, but if we don't live this stuff out, oh my goodness. I mean, most Christians, turn off many searching for answers to questions about God at work and in their family. And research says the majority of these people say that hypocrisy of those who call themselves Christians is the number one reason that people stay away from Christianity. So I think it's becoming blatantly clear that how do we begin to live out our faith? How do we begin to share our faith with others? Let's learn the truth of the scriptures ourselves so we can answer the simple questions people are asking. And let's live it out. Let's be kind. Let's not hold past against people. Let's be there to encourage. And one of the best tools we have is to listen. So often Christians are so quick to speak. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, without listening. It's like they have an agenda, and that clearly is not the nature of God. We need to listen to the stories before we blurt out our own testimony, you know. We need to hear what these people that are asking these questions and yearning for a relationship with God, we need to hear what they're going through. We need to engage with them. We need to share our own brokenness with them. So we're not perfect. But in our brokenness, God has healed us and given us life. That's the message we're trying to get out here. You know, James 1:9, dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And this whole idea, too, as far as reaching the world, that we are to love others unconditionally, and most people have never experienced God's unconditional love. We need to be those people that say, no matter who you are, what you've done, you know what? God loves you. He forgives you thanks to Christ's death on the cross. And God calls us to live and to love and to have faith in Christ that he is who he says he is. I think Christians need to rely on the Holy Spirit as to when the right time is to lead our friends to Christ. So many of us as non-believers, you know, were hounded by Christians just to repeat a prayer. And that did not help me, and I know doesn't help many people, that this is not, being a Christian isn't something that you rotely do. This is something that comes from the heart, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, from the heart, you know, the transition and the coming to Christ is the first step. But really, truly, on this point of how do we evangelize, how do we help others, how do we help the lost and lead them, it's discipleship. Yeah. It's actually staying there in that moment, in that person's life, the one another ministries. It is important to listen. We do need to love unconditionally, but we are the example, and we are the one who's guiding, you know, as it's described, you know, it's one beggar showing the other where the bread is. But we have to remember, we are all the beggar, and we have to lead others and help them in that journey, not just, hey, here's the prayer. Kudos, high five. Yeah. Now you're one of us. See ya.
Yeah.
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 Wouldn't want to be
because
ya.
Nobody's in the movie.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you know what? I think as a non-believer for many, many, many years, one reason why I didn't come to Christ earlier, one of many, not only was the bad behavior of Christians that I hung with, but this idea of people just not understanding why they believe. And teenagers today, if you ask them, are you a Christian? Most of them will say yes. But we leave it at that. Some will say, well, yeah, I was raised in a Christian home. Okay, does that make you a Christian? No. You know, and so we have to be really careful when we're talking to people and you know, what is a Christian? Somebody who's trusted Christ for their life and is living it out. And that's the thing I think that is missing, is this humility of Christians to live it out and to answer questions about just basic questions about their faith. I am absolutely amazed that having been in ministry so much and with the worldly approach, most of them want Jesus, but they want to know who Jesus is before they're going to jump into this pot. And if we don't, we can't answer their basic questions about mm-hmm. our faith, they're not going to buy it. They're not going to buy in.
That's true.
And that's what's so frustrating about it. It's yeah. not an emotional experience. It's something that will transform your life. It's something that gives you hope that has no description attached, nor the love that we have for God and for others. There's just no way of really defining that yeah. because yeah. that's the Holy Spirit in us. And so many people are faking it. They go to church and they whatever, oh. and they can quote scripture, but their hearts are just cold. And we, as a Christian church, you know, golly, we have to meet these people with the gospel, and then how on earth do we live it out?
Yeah.
And boy, I mean, the world is such a mess now, and so many are discouraged. And just a word of encouragement, church, just something mm-hmm. that will lift their day. So you can start relationships with people. Most people today, you know, wide is the road that leads to death. And I'm afraid we look at the world and that wide space is just becoming a gigantic.
Mm-hmm. I want to share this very quickly, Nancy, because this brings us right back to where we started with your question this morning. And this will kind of tie things up. And I want to share it mainly because I know there have got to be people listening this morning that are quite probably in this very place. And this is a text that came in as you were discussing the biblical worldview question of the week this morning. And it's from Vicki in Vietersburg. And she says, one of the biggest witnesses to me was watching one of the adult choir members answer the altar call. She had been in the choir 14 years, but never had made the decision herself to be right with God. She says she told the church about it when she had time to speak about it. Attendance in church or activities in the church are not enough to save our soul.
That's right.
And I wanted to share that because, you know, if you're not sure that you are right with God, and if you've been going to church but you've never really taken that step, please talk to a church member. Talk to your pastor and don't delay. Because this is your eternity that is at stake.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is an opportunity, a moment. This is God-appointed moment for a panel discussion. Randy Aulis, hey, buddy.
Yeah, hey, guys.
Hey. So now we've got Nancy and Randy. You heard the conversation there just about the lost. And, you know, people, we just got this message from someone who had said, from Vicki in Vietersburg, who said, you know, hey, the biggest example was watching someone do the altar call who was in a choir at the church for 14 years. Yeah, you heard that.
Yep.
Isn't
yep.
it so true? We can be in that space and not know Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, my father, he never got saved until he was 65 years old. He used to, you know, go to church every Sunday. He used to drive the church bus and pick up the kids, you know, to bring them to Sunday school and take them back home. He sat there, he heard sermon after sermon after sermon. You know, he'd sit there and he'd watch all the hypocrites in the church. And he says, I'm more righteous than they are. And we thought, yeah, you probably are, Dad, but you know, it isn't going to save you. But he had a sister who was, this is fascinating. I may have told the story before, but she was mute. She couldn't hear. She couldn't talk. She had her own sign language. And even though he heard sermon after sermon, year after year after year, and he would always find faults with Christians in that, when she passed away, he accepted Christ. So God decided to use somebody who couldn't really speak at all to reach my dad's heart.
Oh,
and that's
wow.
how he found the Lord was through her. So isn't that wild? I know the seeds were planted by the pastor, you know, all those years. But, you know, God does things his way, and it's not always our way. And even though she couldn't talk or speak, and she had her own little sign language here, that's what reached his heart to receive Christ.
Wow.
So, and again, they, you know, the unbelieving world will watch us, you know, we falter and everything else. And it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And that's a key difference right there.
Yeah.
A relationship is freedom. You know, it's our relationship with Christ. And as I said before, you know, it's God's mission in our life to conform us to the image of Christ and also to deepen that relationship with him one-on-one. And that is so freeing. When you surrender, you become free. You know, when you just trust in Him, you know He's over everything. So anyway, God can do whatever He wants to do. And believe me, you know, as Nancy says, and we all know this, that the world is watching. The world's watching how we live our life, you know. So there's somebody I've been witnessing to. I won't mention names or anything, but, you know, they're watching Christians, and they said they've only really run into two Christians that they know that actually live what they preach, you know. And that's really sad, because a lot of people have their, as I say, their fire insurance, but that's about it, you know.
Yeah.
And they still live like the world. So anyway, I'm just preaching to the choir now here, so.
But it's
okay,
good preaching.
We're kind of liking it, Randy.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's amazing the journey we're all on here, you know, and, you know, you just obey the Lord. And, you know, like you said, you have to trust the Holy Spirit to give you the right words to say, to ask the right questions, you know, and to listen to hear where they're coming from. You know, to jump into the ring with them, you know, go with them when they're going through the struggles and that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. It is a participation sport.
It is. Yeah.
it's not a sideline sport, you know.
Yeah.
Like what you said, Steve, you know, you don't present the gospel and they pray this prayer and accept Christ, give them a high five and see you later. You know, we're gone. You know, and it's the discipleship and there's so much more to it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, Billy Graham would.
And it's not
that.
Easy. Yeah,
no.
It's just not easy all the time, and that's the thing. You have to roll up your sleeves and be committed to stay in the fight sometimes.
Yeah,
you know?
and it takes time too. It takes time.
Yeah,
and I think part of it is everybody's so busy. You know, I don't have time to to meet with anyone.
Right.
Anyway, you know, I that's a weakness with me too. We get so busy, but it takes time to disciple somebody. So
right.
Man, oh man. I think we've just turned a corner in Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Kelly, I don't know. This just in some new theme music, you know. That's right. This is our panel discussion this morning here on Mornings with Kelly and Steve. I think we got to hit syndication soon, right? Hey, come on.
There you go.
Well, I'm thinking that Randy and Nancy can fill in for us when we're out.
Yeah. This is a natural.
I don't know about that.
Randy, we're calling you out of retirement, buddy.
Hello? You lost connection here.
Lost connection.
Oh,
my goodness. Well, while this is all fun, we will have to move on and figure out the weather. But, Nancy, this is just awesome, you know, because it is so true. We can be around people. We can be raised in a Christian household and still not know Jesus. And that experience is for every single one of us. But, you know, Randy, you're also so right. It's not a religion. It's a relationship. And that's what the world needs to understand, because we have... For so long, you know, that's the image, is that, you know, it's just it's man's set of rules we have to follow. But it's not. It's God and His living word and the sacrifice of the Messiah, who's the Savior for us. And that's the difference.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
I think religion turns a lot of people off.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a religion. You know, it's a relationship, which is totally different. So
I'm with you. I'm with you. Well, my goodness, Nancy Fitzgerald of Anchors Away Worldview Ministries, thank you for being with us and part of the panel this morning as we close things out on our Worldview Question of the Week with Nancy Fitzgerald. Anchorsaway.org is the place to find out all the information that you want to have and learn about your Christian walk and how you can affect others. So thank you so much, Nancy.
Thank you so much.
That
was good. We'll do it again.
There we are. We'll have to do that again. That's right. Yeah, I think we're on to something. We'll take this on the road.
It's Mornings with Kelly and Steve. Find us on Facebook and online at kellyandsteve.org.